Building the Branson Airport with private funding, $155 million. Independence from government red tape, priceless. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Jeff Burke, who is the executive director of Branson Airport LLC. These guys are creating a commercial aviation airport from scratch in 22 months to serve the growing entertainment complex that's located at Branson, Missouri. And Jeff, thanks very much for taking some time out. I know this has to be a crazy busy time for you.
Yeah, it is. It's a fascinating time, and we're extremely busy and cranking along on schedule, but we're very happy to be talking with you.
Well, let's go back and get our listeners a little background. I know some of them recall our interview a few weeks ago with Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation, where he mentioned your airport. But the Branson Airport is under construction. It's a 22-month project expected to wrap up in May of next year. And it's remarkable because it's the first commercial airport maybe ever in the United States that has been built with completely private funding.
That's exactly true, and that's what our sources indicate, that it is the first privately funded airport, meaning there's been other private entities out there, but they've never built the airport without any federal grant money for commercial service airport, for commercial service. And that's what we're doing. It's 100% private entity building the airport with no federal grants. It doesn't mean all of the FAA regulations will be followed and approaches are put in and all of that kind of stuff, but there's no federal grant money supporting the construction of the airport, including the NAVAIDS.
Now, that's interesting. This obviously would free you up from, you know, being under the thumb of the FAA, which at times has been good because, frankly, there are times when communities would have lost their airports due to short-term thinking were it not for their commitments to the FAA. But at the same time, the FAA, obviously, if you take their money, you're making a commitment to this, you know, business as usual, and whatever, you know, every other airport is doing is what you're going to be doing. Why did you guys decide to go privately?
Well, when you take federal grant money, you're subject to the federal grant assurances, and the federal grant assurances tie airports' hands in many ways when it comes to the types of deals and the way airports negotiate their deals with individual airlines. You know, each airline that serves the market, depending on the market, has its own value. It doesn't necessarily have to be based on, at a municipal airport, you offer one deal to one airline, you have to offer the same deal to the next airline. Here, the deals offered to each airline will be dependent on the merit of the market rather than what the deal was that came before it. So that's a very unique thing in itself. But also the other aspect of it is we're able to offer something that's called an initial development right to the airline, which is essentially a period, exclusivity to an airline from a given route for a period of time. It gives them the ability to develop the market, develop the route without competition for a period of time, which is very important in this market, in this industry, to know that an airline can come in, serve the market without worrying about what the competition is going to do for that period, that contract period.
All right. Now, you'd be talking about direct competition flying into the Branson Airport, but obviously with, what is it? Is it Springfield that people normally fly into now?
Yeah, Springfield is an hour to the north, and Fayetteville or Northwest Arkansas is approximately an hour and 45 minutes to 2 hours to the south. So there is competition on that level, but we don't really see ourselves in competition with those markets, because they primarily serve the business market in that community. We're looking to serve the entertainment market and the leisure tourism market in Branson. And it's a large one. It's the 20th largest tourist destination in the country by night stay. And there's no airport here that is set up or able to handle this market. Springfield serves the business market, has relatively high fares, and isn't set up to serve the leisure market that's going to come to Branson for vacation.
All right. I guess what I'm saying, though, is that if somebody has an initial development right to operate on a particular route into Branson, they will at some point face at least background competition from other airlines flying into Springfield. And so there will be obviously some cap beyond price cap beyond which travelers would choose to fly into Springfield and drive an hour rather than pay an exorbitant fee to come directly into Branson.
Yeah, well, and actually we think it's the other way around. Branson will have the low fares because we're talking with carriers that are interested in offering low fares. So we will have low-cost service to Branson. Our contracts, our initial development right contracts, are set up to make sure that the airlines, you know, a low-cost carrier can come in here and provide low fares, but not suicidal low fares, so they can charge that extra $10 needed to make up for the increase in fuel, but it's still a low-fare market. So the idea here is that we will offer low-cost service to Branson from the outlying markets.
All right. Now, you're going to have to target, I guess, beyond airlines that are willing to work with low fares. You're going to have to target airlines that are not struggling to stay alive because, frankly, what we see in the industry now is capacity cuts. And on the list of routes being cut, leisure and vacation and family fare routes are overrepresented. In other words, the cuts being made by the airlines are coming first in the markets where most of the travelers are leisure travelers seeking low fares.
That's true. But Branson is a market that has, you know, right now 30 units of demand and no supply. There's really no supply to this market. So what's happening is there are leisure and tourist destination markets out there that are that there's too much supply. So what they have to do to keep those fares at where they need to be is reduce that supply. Here we're talking about a market where there really isn't any, you know, there's no supply. There's no seats in this market. And in the surrounding airports where there are seats, they're set up to serve the business market, not the leisure market. And they're not getting those passengers coming into that airport because the fare structure doesn't match up with the leisure traveler.
We're talking with Jeff Burke, who is executive director of the Branson Airport LLC project. They're opening a new airport privately funded in the area of Branson, Missouri, coming in May of 2009. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips, composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Plack, talking today with Jeff Burke, Executive Director of the Branson Airport in Missouri. And Jeff, we talked a little bit about the business case for a private airport and some of the things you'll be able to do, and that will be a fascinating thing to watch, especially for those of us who like to see markets solve problems rather than government regulation. Let's talk a little bit about what will make the Branson Airport different. You guys had representatives at EAA Air Venture Oshkosh, which I thought was very interesting because, the focus is obviously not on commercial aviation at that show. And that's where I picked up one of your press packs. And you have a page in there called What Makes Branson Airport Different. We've talked about a couple of these things, the private funding, the IDRs for the airlines. Let's talk about what will make this a better experience for the consumer, because frankly, I think to a large extent, that is the place where you might get the most bang for buck when it comes to the freedom from FAA regulations.
Yeah, as an airport private entity, we are driven to enhance the customer experience for the traveler here at this airport. You know, we're a business. We're not a government agency. We are in the business of providing the service to the customer, and we know if we provide a better service and a top quality service, the customer will be there. And so we are going to do things like control. We're going to provide the best level of customer service available at any airport. As customers come in, they will be greeted. There'll be, you know, anything that they can do or need will be, their needs will be met. One example, there's a lot of examples, but I'll give you one example at the rental car return area. You know, you'll return your car. Every passenger will be treated like a VIP. You come in with your rental car. You never touch a bag. Person helps you with the bag out of the car. Right out there at the rental car return area, your bag will be checked in, and you'll receive your boarding pass. And you just go right on in and go get in line and go through security, and you're into the hold room. It's a level of service at this type of airport that does not usually exist around the country. So that's just one example, but there's many of how we will provide the customer with just the best customer service in the industry.
Let me ask you about how much the structure of the organization makes a difference in that regard. Because do you think that because the many municipal airports are owned by government agencies, they maybe don't have the incentives that a privately run business would have to improve the customer experience?
Yeah, I think that's true. I mean, as a municipality, in a lot of ways, you know, airports around the country are viewed as a public utility more so than a service to its customers. You know, we view this as us providing a service to the customer, and you know, we're absolutely trying to make money while we're doing it. But by providing that better level of customer service, you know, we build up a customer loyalty base that wants to use this airport.
You've mentioned a couple of different places in your press kit a general aviation component to the airport. How is that being viewed and prepared for, and will that be a significant part of the mix?
It is a significant part of the mix. We'll have a full service FBO on the field, you know, handling all types of aircraft from light GA to large, large general aviation aircraft. We have hangar facilities for based aircraft and facilities for transient aircraft.
So I would imagine that performers and some of the other celebs that have to come in and out of Branson might use this airport extensively.
Absolutely. And there's also a large second home market. Branson has beautiful lakes and golf courses and all of those types of things. And there's many people who come here who have second homes here who will fly in on their private aircraft and land at our facility. Many of them now have to land at airports, you know, half an hour to an hour away when this is when they want to be, because the general aviation airport here in town is only 3,700 feet long. And, if you have a type corporate aircraft that can't use that facility, then you have to go to one of the larger facilities further away.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the ability to create unique agreements for vendors at the airport as one of the advantages of your structure. And you mentioned specifically rental cars, and you say that the airport will be able to sign agreements with a rental car company, for example, which provides the airport management with input into the cost structure of the business. Is anybody going for that? I mean,
yeah,
if I'm a rental car company, I'm not sure I want that.
Yes, we do. We have an agreement with a rental car company that will be announced at some point in the future. We're not ready to announce it publicly yet who the rental car agency is. But it will be a unique deal with that one rental car agency that they will be the only rental car company on airport. And what that does, again, there's controls for pricing so that the car rental company cannot gouge consumers and overcharge pricing. But they don't have to compete with four other car rental companies on airport for the business. So there's an advantage to them because they're not spending those marketing dollars to compete. So it does two things. It provides us with some additional revenue, but also provides the rental car company the market, you know, a smaller market like in plane passengers of 500,000 enplanements with no competition in one rental car company. You know, that would rank up in the top 50 airports in the country for that one rental car company as an on-airport rental car operation.
Interesting. Tell us about the deal with the city. Now, you have, if I understand correctly, every out-of-town visitor who arrives through the airport triggers the payment of $8.24 or something from the municipality to the airport authority. How has that worked out, and what research was behind picking that number?
Well, that's exactly right. The number was essentially a negotiated amount, but the idea is that the city of Branson is getting a economic benefit. There is a, you know, they're receiving, let's say our current economic study indicates that there'll be in the first year, $92 million of new visitor spending in Branson because of the airport.
Mm-hmm.
So that translates into X number of tax dollars for the city of Branson. And as that, you know, direct benefit from the airport existing. So as that number goes up, as it starts to reach there's a $2 million cap on that number for the city of Branson. So as that number goes up, we hit X number of employments, 500,000 employments, the amount of tax revenue they're getting from the airport and the new visitors coming into town far exceed the amount of money that they're paying the airport. So it's a great deal for them. There's no risk in the construction of the airport. They get the new visitor spending and the new taxes, and they don't have to build an airport.
Well, this sounds like something that might be applicable elsewhere. If the Branson Airport is successful, which it almost certainly will be, based on those numbers, do you foresee other places in the country where this model might be applicable?
Absolutely. When this model proves itself, there many municipalities will have to look at it, as well as airlines will be interested in it too, because it's a tough environment for the airlines. Every time they cut their costs, fuel prices go up and offset those savings. This provides them the opportunity to go into a market for a period of time, prove that market, develop it, and so from all of these angles, it gives the towns and municipalities the benefit of not having to manage an airport. They can outsource it with no risk, and so absolutely, if this, when this model proves itself, it will be something around the country that people are going to have to consider as an option.
It sounds like you have a great thing going here. It's going to be fascinating to watch. I know that it is generating interest not only among airline travelers and the aviation community, but also among people who are interested in different forms of government or different forms of accomplishing things through government, because it's obviously a model that hasn't been tried in at least 40 years.
Similar models have been done in other places around the world, so it's not the first ever of its type. It's just the first ever in the United States of its type. So, we strongly believe in the success of this model and believe we're going to prove to the world here that a private entity can run an airport and that we can run it very well and be profitable at the same time.
All right, you're 9-10 months out from opening this thing. Do you have, I won't expect you to announce it right now, but do you have an airline lockdown yet?
We will make airline announcements at the appropriate time. That's about all I can say at this point.
All right, Jeff, thanks very much for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Jeff Burke is the executive director of the Branson Airport. You can find out more about the airport at bransonair.net. And you've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Catch us on the web at www.aero.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.